after Bloody Sunday, I suppose it was a very high time of emotion in the city. And like a lot of other young men, he joined up to the IRA. He would only have been 16 at the time, I think. And once he'd done that, he got involved. I think it was down to him. He had to get people out of this filling station over in the Waterside. And because he did that, he was helping two old women or something out of the shop, and he was caught. But I know there was another couple of fellas that were involved in it with him, but he wouldn't give their names up, so he ended up going to jail then for 4 years.
They went to blow up the filling station, wasn't that it? And he was getting people out of there.
That's it. And so he got 4 years. 4 years from, so he had just turned 17 when he went inside.
And it wasn't long after his release then that he was shot dead on the bus. Tell us the circumstances surrounding that.
It was only a matter of days. It was just a matter of days too before his 21st birthday. And Jim had just been released. And before he got out, there had been threats made where he was told that he was going to be shot. So it was his first real outing on his own since he was released. He was only out 5 or 6 days, I think. And he was going to the pictures with his girlfriend, and they were on their way home on an Ulster bus, and there was a commotion. There was a girl actually shot just in front of where the bus was on the Strand Road. And once the bus came to a halt, Jim and another fellow were shot in the bus. Jim was fatally wounded. The bullet went in just at the top of his chest and severed his heart and lungs. The other fellow was shot. I think he just recently passed away too in the last couple of years. He was shot in the hip. He was wounded in the hip. But it is nice, you know, much as I know it was a young soldier took his life, there was a young soldier, which at the time was very, very dangerous for him. And I would love to meet that man, you know, and shake his hand and in fact give him a hug. But he took off his flap jacket and everything and was trying to help Jim. I mean, there was never anything he could have done. But it's amazing that he put his own life on the line to try and save Jim's life. And I really, really appreciate that. Would love to meet that man. Yeah, as my mother would have said herself, he was some mother's son. And for him to put his life on the line like that, considering the circumstances and the times that they were, you know, having to endure over here as well, that is really a big deal to me. Mm-hmm.
Now, you were very young at the time, you were just a baby, but what kind of toll did it take on your family's life, losing your brother?
Oh, awful. From what I can remember of my young years, there was a sadness in our house, you know, much as we're a big family and there was a lot of good times, but I can remember from I was very, very young, just this feeling of just a sadness and like an emptiness at times, you know. I often think that I would love to, you know how he spoke or even how he moved or how he laughed or even it was before the times of, you know, the digital age of everybody being on video or having, I would love to see, you know, even movement, see how he walked. You know, it sounds so silly, but it's like, it's just this big mystery to me, you know, it's just this big enigma.
Were your family ever bitter about what happened?
No, I'm very proud to say that my mother and father were very stoic and very strong people. And they instilled such dignity in us where they told us and taught us never ever to bear any ill will or bitterness. You know, you couldn't carry that hatred around inside you, you know. Because I know there was one of my sisters that there was something on the news. It was about a British soldier and she sort of, you know, she said something kind of triumphant about it. Well, you know, like, well, at least that's one of them or something along these lines, you know, because she was angry. But my mother just would not have it. She was all, don't ever dare say that. Don't ever dare, you know, wish ill will on somebody like that as some other mother's son. That's just like your brother, Jim. Would you want that for another family? Would you, you know, he has a brothers and sisters. Don't ever, ever do that.
And was it hard for the family, given the fact that your brother was in the IRA, and some people out there might take the view, well, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And exactly. How did you ever deal with that?
He took a chance on doing what he did, but he was a child as well. And I know they were very, very different times. And if you can imagine the sheer injustice and rage and hurt and just everything that, that was felt back then, you know, by the Catholic community.
We hear a lot of talk now, of course, of dealing with the past and what our politicians need to do to help victims like you and your family who've come through an awful lot. What do you think needs to happen now?
I honestly, and this is speaking from the point of view of somebody that was robbed of a brother by the Troubles, we have to draw a line under it. Those times are gone. The people that we lost, they're gone. We can't get them back. And much as it were hurt and angry and, you know, there's really, really no point. Just as that bitterness, you can't let that fester. We have to do something productive from what happened, from the hurt and the losses and the deaths. And, you know, we have to look back on the past and learn from it. And I think that should be what policymakers and politicians should do.